Good morning. Welcome to each of you. Good to be gathered with you again. Not quite as full this morning as we typically see it. That shouldn't change our desire to be here and to worship together. This morning I invite you to turn with me to Daniel, the first chapter. The first chapter in the book of Daniel. Thank you, Cody, for your challenge in your devotional to be fully armored and to rely on the power of God. Going to be looking at a very familiar story this morning of a couple of individuals that were fully armored. Had to think a while back, the thought came to me, I forget what was going on, I must have been in a trying time, but the thought was, the picture came to my mind of a tube of toothpaste. Now, I know all of you know what happens when you squeeze on a tube of toothpaste, or at least that's what's always happened when I squeeze on a tube of toothpaste. Toothpaste comes out. But the picture came to my mind of what happens to me when, through the pressures of life, through the trials, there are times that we feel squeezed. And I was challenged at what comes out of me. What is my response? There is something that comes out of me, that comes out of us when we face the difficulties of life. I think our character is revealed. It's easy to pretend to be someone when the times are easy. We're pleasant to be around. But what happens when we face the trials, the difficulties of life? Are we still pleasant to be around? Now, Daniel, the first chapter. We see here start in verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, if I can say that, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of God, and he brought the vessels unto the treasure house of his God. So we see King Nebuchadnezzar taking over Judah here, unto Jerusalem, and he besieged it. As we think of that, as we think of being pilgrims and strangers, here were some young men that were a part of that battle, that part of the people that were taken captive and taken back to another country, to another city, I should say. I want to skip on to verse 6 here. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. four young men here that were taken captive and taken back. Prisoners of war, we would call them. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meats and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse, liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall he make me endanger my head to the king. And Daniel pleaded with him to Melzer, that he would make provisions, that he would make, we would say, exceptions to them, because they found themselves in a foreign city, different culture. Of course, they had worshipped God, Yahweh, where they had been, and now they're taken into a foreign culture. And Daniel pleaded with him and said, I beseech thee to allow us to have different food and drink. He didn't want to be defiled. He didn't want to eat meat that was offered to false gods like the people of that city. And he pleaded with him to allow him and his friends to have what he called pulse to eat and water to drink. Thinking of commitment, thinking of character, if I would give this a title, I guess I would entitle it, How Committed Are You? How committed are you to the providence and the power of God? This would have been difficult to stand the way that Daniel did here. To be taken a prisoner and straight away he was asking for exceptions, and he was standing up for... It could have looked very insulting to the king. What do you mean this isn't good enough for you? You're lucky we're giving you what we're giving you. But here we find a couple of young men that were fully armored, like Cody was talking about this morning, that believed in the power and the providence of God. And they trusted that God would prove himself to the authorities here. I want to skip ahead to verse 19. After their time of testing here, of eating pulse and water, not eating what the king and the authorities thought was the best for them, because they were to be wise men in this city. And in verse 19, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all the matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Now, they could have said, you know what? We're captives. We're in a foreign city. We're going to try to keep a low profile. We're going to try to just be at peace. We're going to try to keep our head where we want it, on our shoulders. And we're just going to try to just go with what is going on here. How committed are you? Do you fully trust in the providence and the power of God? Let's turn ahead, a couple pages to Daniel, the third chapter. As we look further in this story of these young men in a foreign city, and look to see how committed are they really? At what level of commitment did these young men have? As I said, we know this story very well. But we see they had changed their names. Hananiah became Shadrach. But Hananiah's name was Yahweh is gracious in the city that he came from, in his home country, we would say. Mishael became Meshach. His name had meant, who is like Yahweh? There is no one like him. There is no one like God. Azariah, we know, became Abednego. Yahweh is our help. But we see things starting to change for these young men. And Daniel had become Belteshazzar. The king was wanting to change these young men into who he thought they should be. He took them from family, from their country, and even changed their name, changed their identity, we would say. Tried to change everything about them. We would say he went through a process of brainwashing, trying to change these young men into who he wanted them to be. Now in chapter 3, in verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. We know the story well, how he gathered everyone together. Now we don't find Daniel in this story. We don't know where Daniel was at. Was he about official business? Or what he was up to. But he wasn't present when the king called the rest of the people together into this meeting to worship this idol that he had made, an image of gold, this huge image. As I think about the journey, the story of these three young men, and what they experienced in a foreign country, and how they responded at each phase of the journey. This has been one of my favorite Bible stories as a young man, as a young boy, wondering withstood this test as a young boy, thinking of standing despite thousands of others bowing. As we go into this story, we see that the king instructed the people, when the music starts, when that music starts, you're to bow. And he said, whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall at the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, in verse 7, therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now Nebuchadnezzar, we know, was a fierce king. He was known to be cruel. I don't know how he was to his own people. Don't sound like he was too pleasant to him unless they obeyed him. But he wouldn't allow people to stand in his way. He was very cruel in his conquests of other cities and nations, countries and so on, of other tribes of people. He was very cruel. And so they were not being tested in a small way. They were not being tested by a gentle person here. Nebuchadnezzar was very forthright, we would say. If you don't bow down in that same hour, you'll be cast into the fiery furnace. Well, the music started playing. But we could say to these three young men, this was foreign music. This was not music, a call to worship that they were accustomed to, we could say. They were not going to be swayed by the music of the false gods. I'm just drawing an analogy there. Does the music of the world sway you? Is there the music of the world? Does it call to you? When the music of the world starts playing, are you bowing down to that music? Are you easily swayed, or are you fully committed to the power and the providence of God? Have you allowed exceptions to come into your life? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had a decision to make. It wasn't going to be done in private. It wasn't going to be without consequence. Wherefore at that time, in verse 8, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We see the king become enraged, a fury. He very likely thought, you know, I've given these young men a special place in my kingdom. I've made exceptions, provisions for them. We see what comes out of King Nebuchadnezzar when he was tested here. His patience was tested. Nebuchadnezzar was a very proudful man. And when someone steps up and defies someone that's proud, this is what happens. He became full of rage and fury. But we see, I don't know if it was because of who they were, but he gives them a second chance. He told them to bring the men to him. In verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?" He's calling them by their name. "Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" And he's saying, "I'm going to give you a second chance." But now here is what these three young men had to say to that second chance. The three young men that from the very beginning of their captivity were committed to the power and the providence of God. I wonder what would have happened, how this story would have ended, if throughout their captivity they would have kept making exceptions and saying, "Well, it's okay. It's just an outward symbol. God knows our heart. You know, we'll just go ahead and do what they want here in this country. We'll just make it appear like we're going along. God knows our heart. We really don't believe all this stuff and this food and this drink, the worship that they have in this foreign country. But we'll just go along with it. Because, you know, God can use us to, you know, if we stay alive, we can maybe have an opportunity to witness to them. Maybe we'll have an opportunity to change their minds." Here the king was giving them a second chance. Nebuchadnezzar, in verse 15, at the end of the verse, he's making fun. He's making them question who they believe in. "This God that you're committed to." He says, "You're going to be cast in the midst of that burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Nebuchadnezzar is saying, "There's no one more powerful than I am. There, I have your life in my hands. And unless you bow to me, your life is about to end." Verse 16, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you, to answer thee in this matter.'" They didn't say, "Please, please, look, we've been able to get along so far. Please give us time or make an exception. Can't you just take us in some back room and the others will forget there were those that didn't bow down? There's got to be a way of working this out. Well, give us some time to think about it. If you can't see past testing us again, give us some time. I mean, this is a life and death matter." But they said, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter." We don't need time to think about it. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King." Their commitment to the power of God is found in this verse. In verse 18, They trusted in the providence, the provision of God, that Yahweh, their original names, Yahweh is gracious. Who is like Yahweh? Yahweh is our help. They believed that with every fiber of their being. They were saying, God can and He will deliver us out of your hand. They didn't say how. But in verse 18, three powerful words. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. All the way up to this time, the king was trying to change these excellent, strong young men to be part of his kingdom. He changed everything about them on the outside. But he found at this point, at this moment in time, he found there was one thing that he couldn't change about these three young men, and that was their character. He hadn't changed their character at all. We know the story well. It says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. And it says his countenance, his visage, his facial image was changed. He was so consumed with anger. He found that the word of God remained in their heart. He didn't change them, but on the outside. So they fired up the furnace, 7 times hotter, I believe the king commanded them to do. And we know as they threw Shadrach and Meshach, Abednego, into the fiery furnace, that the heat consumed those that threw them in. Skipping on to verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. In the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. King Nebuchadnezzar was once again astonished. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And they seen a miraculous rescue that God provided for these 3 young men. That they weren't consumed by the fire. Their clothes weren't consumed. They didn't have the smell of fire or smoke on them. Daniel, the 4th chapter, we can see the results of the commitment, being fully committed to God. The power and the influence that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel had on them. I had to think, where were the rest of the captives in that crowd? I don't remember how many that Nebuchadnezzar took captive, but I know it was thousands of people. And yet, out of those thousands, there were three that were standing. Were some of the others that were taken captive from the same country in that crowd? I'm sure there were. And they were bowing. Because three men were committed, fully persuaded that God was able and would deliver them in some way. Either give them the strength to stand, and they knew that their soul would live forever, even if their physical life was taken here. This is the result of the commitment of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I invite you to turn to Daniel, the 4th chapter, to verse 34. Looking at a man that was cruel, that was prideful, it says he was filled with rage and fury because they didn't bow down and worship. We would say that King Nebuchadnezzar was an evil man. Verse 34 of chapter 4. And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto the heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. And excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Kings, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. What a change in the life of King Nebuchadnezzar. Because three men said, we will not make exceptions. We will not bow with the crowd. We will not allow a king to change the God that we serve. We're going to trust in the providence and the power of God. Because of their commitment, it brought change to many people. I invite you to turn with me to Luke, the 21st chapter, now looking at the New Testament. Luke 21, I won't read all the verses here. We'll start in verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay, and Jesus is talking here about what will happen to his followers, what we can expect when we follow the life of Christ. And in verse 12, "But before all these they shall lay their hands on you and shall persecute you, delivering you up into the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay, nor resist." Skipping on to verse 18, "But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls." Living a committed life. We read the writings of Paul, and he would bring out that there were benefits to being incarcerated. Why? Because he could share the gospel with people there that he wouldn't be able to otherwise. I can't pronounce her name correctly, but her first name, I believe, is Pave. Now, Pave lived in the country of Finland. She was a pastor's wife, a medical doctor, and even the prime minister for the interior for Finland for a few years. And it came a time that she was arrested. Why? Pave was committed to the gospel. She had a position of influence. And she stood for truth. She declared and preached the gospel, we could say. And she stood on the fact that marriage was between one man and one woman. She was arrested. She was interrogated for 13 hours straight. Now Jesus said, "You'll be arrested. You'll be persecuted. You'll be brought before the judges and the rulers." Pave, for 13 hours straight, she was interrogated. But she did not back down. She was facing prison time for several years for what they deemed a crime of hate speech. But she wouldn't back down. Later, she gave a glowing testimony that the time that she was interrogated, they were giving her opportunity, saying, "Pave, all you have to do is just denounce what you're standing for." But she didn't. She said that time, those hours, at one time for 13 hours straight, she said was like Bible studies. She said she was glad for the opportunities to preach the gospel of Christ to those officials. She said it was like Bible studies. Pave was committed to the power and the providence of God. How committed are you to the power and the providence of God? What are the words? What are the things that come out of you? I believe the picture that Jesus was saying is, if you live for me, don't make no exceptions. Live in my will, that when those times come, that you're brought before magistrates and rulers, judges. He said, don't meditate on what to say. I'll give you the words. I'll form the words for you in that time. What's going to come out of you if you're tested in that manner? Will it be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Like Pave? I had to think of a story this morning. Didn't know this young man well. But he bought a new car. And this car had a what would you call it? The electronics in it. Like it would talk to you. Had Google. It would say all kinds of fancy things, and it would say, fasten your seatbelt. There's actually a voice that came on and said, fasten your seatbelt. Well, he thought that was pretty neat. He got a chuckle out of that. He thought this is all right. You know, and he called it the little lady in the dash. Buckle your seatbelts. But then one day it said that he needed fuel. That little lady's voice said, refuel. And he's like, well, that's nice, you know. Thank you for reminding me. But he was sure he had at least 50 miles he could go yet. But this voice kept on saying, refuel, refuel. And he said, I know it was the same tone of voice, but yet every time she came on, it seemed a little harsher, and he didn't like it. That individual actually stopped beside the road because this lady kept on saying, refuel, refuel. And he unhooked the capabilities of that little lady, reminding him to refuel. He thought that was pretty funny. He said he was still chuckling when he ran out of gas and coasted to the side of the road. And he said he's pretty sure he heard that little lady up in the dash somewhere chuckling, laughing. As we think of our conscience, God's guidance, how committed are you to the power and the providence of God? When that voice says, don't do that. Don't make exceptions. Stand for truth. But Satan wants us to ignore that. You don't have to listen. Just unplug from that. Don't listen. It's not that big of a deal. You don't have to do everything that the Word of God is teaching. There are some exceptions to the rule. You don't want to look too strange to the world. Satan wants us to slowly become oblivious to that voice. That voice that Jesus was saying, I will give you the words to speak. Don't fear. You're going to be persecuted for my sake. How committed are we to the power and the providence of God? Satan wants to be there. He wants to celebrate when you're defeated, when you're sitting beside the road and your car has run out of fuel. God's ways are mysterious. Nebuchadnezzar, Shadrach, and Meshach, they weren't sure how they were going to be delivered. But they believed that God would deliver them. God would give them the strength to face that test. I had to think as I picture those three men in that fiery furnace. And we think of Psalms, the 23rd chapter. He maketh me to lie. He leadeth me beside. You know, a fiery furnace isn't always how we picture that. But the peace that they had and the power and the providence of God to say those words, but if not, I believe they felt the presence and the power of the Good Shepherd leading them, making them to lie. I was challenged myself at the level of my commitment in the power and the providence of God. Let's stand for a word of prayer for those of you that can. Kind Father, we bow before you this morning. We thank you for your promises to never leave us or forsake us. That you will provide. You will give us the strength to be fully committed and not to make exceptions. Father, you've given your Spirit to lead and direct us. Help us to be mindful, have soft hearts toward your voice to lead us in all paths of righteousness. Help us to be faithful through times of testing. Help, just give us boldness and courage. That when things look different, look like they're going to turn out different than what we thought that they would or that we would like for them to, that we can say those words that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said so many years ago. But if not, you will preserve us. You will keep us in your care. We can trust you for every test of life, for every battle, for every fire. We can trust in your care, in your power to watch over us and to keep us. Just pray that you would just dismiss us with your blessings. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.